I've been reading and been doing. People's been coming up and talking to me. A lot of folks has been coming to me talking to me about the Lord, and folks that's never have come and talked to me about it before, and just asking general type questions. And I think the things, the news that they've been watching, and things that's got them perplexed, you know, and the uncertainty of times and life, you know. Fear is a great motivator. And a lot of people don't like fear. They don't like fear and they don't like guilt, but it's a big motivator. Some people say, well, I don't run. You get a big old grizzly bear behind you, it'll motivate you to run. What was the old adage? They said, you got to outrun the grizzly bear. I said, no, it's got to outrun the person next to me. That's the only person I got to outrun. But there's some things in this day and time that we should know. There's some wisdom and there's some knowledge that the believers should have. And the biggest thing that I think that's the Lord's laid upon my heart is an assurance in their heart and assurance. And I've often said that what folks need is not some insurance, they need some assurance. And that assurance only comes through and by the Lord, and assurance about their life. I've been talking to folks here recently, and death has been a hot topic, it seems like. And I have been around and the funerals here recently and visitations and things of that nature. And but there's one common theme that's been going up for the last couple of weeks, Lord's laid upon my heart, to preach tonight and to ask tonight, is how much assurance do you have in your heart? How much assurance do you have that your relationship with the Lord? And often I've heard people say, well, preacher, first saved, what's the big deal having a checkup or take an inventory? The Bible says that you're to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. And I've often thought about this, Brother James, if folks don't have much assurance, they ain't quick to give an answer on the hope that lies within them. And hopefully tonight that before we leave, there's some things that maybe God will put in our heart, give us more assurance. Maybe there's some things that you need to work out with the Lord this evening. I don't know your heart, but the Lord does. That's what I like about the song. He's got an all-seeing eye. Samuel was trying to ordain the next king, and he thought for sure it was Jesse's oldest. He looked so good. He looked the part. A lot of times we're looking for the person who looks the part. I got told one time at the first funeral I did, I had on the suit, had on the tie, had on the white shirt, had the King James Bible, and somebody says, you look the part, Jason. You're looking the part. And a lot of folks want to look the part, but God sees what the part looks at on the outside. He looks on the inside. He sees what man cannot see. Amen. Everybody all right this evening? And I know Sunday night, Lord left off that message in a very serious tone. And I want to say this to the church, that's the reason why we pray for one another. That it's not to say that folks is lost church members, but it's to say that there's some things that we should be doing as believers, things that we should be adding to our faith. And oftentimes, I've heard people say this about the Baptist church, is that they love to get folks saved, but after they're saved, folks don't like doing anything else. But there's a work that needs to be done once we're saved. Somebody else was doing a work, surely, before we came along. If it wasn't for their work, we wouldn't be here. So tonight, we just hope and pray that God speaks to your heart and you add to what God speaks to you. So if you got James chapter 1, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to read verse number 5, and then I'm going to go to Proverbs chapter number 4. I'm going to read verse number 7. I'm going to read verse number 5 in James chapter 1, and it says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Go to Proverbs, if you want to, go to Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 7. Proverbs 4, verse number 7. And this is what the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, had wrote. In verse number 7, he says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Would you help me pray? Precious God, come to you, Lord, one more time this evening. Father, we thank you and praise you, Father, for this night. We thank you, Father, for the word that you've given us. We thank you, God, for this blessed hope that we have in our heart. But God, we ask you tonight, Lord, Father, all this stuff is for naught, Lord, unless you preach through us. Lord, I ask you for your help. I ask you for your anointing. And Lord God, as I was sitting there on that pew, I was asking for you to honor your man, Lord Father. And I pray that this man honor you in surrendering and submitting himself into your hands and preaching just exactly what you preach through me. Lord, it don't matter if it's 30 minutes or ever how long it is. But God, we want to give our heart this evening. I believe we're living in the last days. I believe we're winding up this thing. And Father, I believe, Lord, that this is about getting up time, going home time. And Father, I pray tonight, Lord, Father, that for all of us, Lord, that we would leave out of here tonight confident and having nothing to be ashamed of. And Lord, I thank you for what Brother Randy did. And Lord, I pray, Lord, Father, that all of us, Lord, would realize our faults, confess them, Lord, Father, and get things right and move on and move upward, forget them, the things that are behind, and press them toward the high calling, the mark in Christ Jesus. And thy Son, sweet precious name, do humbly pray. Amen and amen. It is important in today's, it's important if you're saved, it's important if you are walking with the Lord, is to have wisdom. And a lot of times wisdom, some folks would say that wisdom only comes with experience. I believe experience does bring wisdom. But the Bible says here in Proverbs, or James chapter number 1 and verse number 5, he said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. And I believe that tonight, that the Lord would give the wisdom when a person asks. He goes on and says, don't ask wavering. As Brother Jeff was saying, a lot of times we don't ask and we don't have, but sometimes we ask. And when we ask it that we may consume it upon our own lust. And that's when we ask it amiss. But he's saying if you're lacking wisdom, you need to ask of the Lord. Solomon, who some folks credit as being the most smartest man in the Old Testament, and some theologians say the smartest man of the Bible. And when Solomon, when he could ask God for anything that he could ask for, Brother James, he didn't ask for wealth, and he didn't ask for power. He didn't ask for the notoriety, and he didn't ask for folks to love him, and he didn't ask for folks to fear him. But he asked for the wisdom and that of the Lord. And the Bible says that when God heard that prayer, that it pleased the Lord that Solomon would ask that prayer. And he said, wisdom is the principal thing. It is the principal thing. Therefore, get it. Get the wisdom. And we done read how you get it. You ask of the Lord. And he said, with all thy getting, get you some understanding to go with it. Wisdom is the right exercise or the right use of knowledge. It's one thing to have a knowing in your mind or have a knowing, but wisdom is knowing just exactly how to use it and how to use it right. Oftentimes I've heard people say, I know how to do this and I know how to do that, but when the rubber meets the road, they really don't have no clue on how they're supposed to do. I've often seen people and heard even people even say that maybe singing was something easy that they could do or playing an instrument. And I never forget, I was sitting there thinking, and I thought for sure playing the guitar would be the most simplest thing that I ever done. And I thought the hardest thing it was going to be was to learn how to put my fingers all over that neck. But actually what it was trying to get through the pain and fight through the pain. And the biggest problem was my other hand. And a lot of times you can have a knowledge of something, Brother James, but until you get the wisdom, the knowing of how to use it and use it right, that is where the rubber will meet the road. That's where the difference will happen in your life. And can I say this, when it comes to getting that knowledge and getting that wisdom, knowledge is a clear and a certain perception of that which exists and of knowing what it is. That knowledge is a clear and certain perception. That means there's no fogginess. That means there's no cloud. That means there's nothing that's getting in the way. When you know something, it is crystal clear. I know whom I am. I know my name. You can't change my thoughts. You can't change me. You can't get me off that. I know who my mom and dad is. I know who my wife and kids are. I know that and know that well. But can I say this? When it comes to having an understanding, it's the comprehending and the apprehending of the idea of knowledge and knowing how to use it, which is wisdom. And in today's day and time,
It seems like in a day that we're living in, when it comes to the living of the life of a believer, it seems like we have a whole lot of people that say they believe, but they don't know exactly who they believe in. In a day and time that we live in today, which I would like to say is exciting times that we're living in, I believe we're living in the last times. That is the time when everybody should have a knowledge and a wisdom of something. But when it comes to the Lord, a lot of folks really just don't know exactly who He is. And can I say this tonight? It's been preached on about the last three or four Wednesdays about how the walk is with the believer, and that is with the Lord. We preached upon how the spiritual things of God, the things of the Lord, are spiritually discerned and they're spiritually revealed. We preached about how that when it comes to walking with the Lord and having the joy of knowing God, that it better not be based upon the things that you do in church, but it should be based upon a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. And can I say this tonight, as we are preaching here tonight, there's some things that you need to know, have the wisdom about knowing it, and understanding just exactly what's going on when it comes into your life walking with God. I had a person tell me this one time. I was listening to him trying to tell me about their testimony. We was up in Miamisburg, Ohio, and they told me that they had went to bed one night and fell asleep and woke up the next morning, and they said they were saved. And they were saved, and I looked at them, I said, "You got saved in your sleep?" They said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, how's it feel being saved?" This man just looked at me. He said, "It's the greatest thing that he ever had." But when you start asking the principal things about being born again, asking about the principal things about the cross and things of that nature, he did not have no clue and didn't have no idea. And I asked him, I said, "How long have you been saved?" And he was telling about how long it has been. And some folks would say, "Well, preacher, you cannot tell folks who's saved and who's not." And I'm not saying the man's saved and I'm not saying the man's not saved. But I've never seen nobody, Brother James, since Christ rose again on that third and glorious morning, that was not present in that person's life. They was awake. They was conscious. They had a coherent thing in there, a thought in their mind, knowing exactly what was going on. It isn't some fairy tale. This is serious business tonight when it comes to walking with God, having a relationship with the Lord. Because too many people, I fear, Brother James Powell Sr., are coming to the end of their life, to the end of their days. And when they're getting there, they don't know. They don't have a clue. They're surrounded with doubt. Clouds are hanging over their head. And they're scared plumb to death. And they say, "Preacher, what do I do?" And today and tonight, as we're living in this day and time, that's exactly what God has got upon my heart. I've been burdened for the last little bit about the situation and circumstances on the way that some folk walk. And I'll be honest with you, I get scared to death of being the pastor of this church. And I get scared about this, Brother John Salem, because I know that God has placed me here. And I know this good church has said we want you here. And I've got to tread lightly and walk how God wants me to walk and preach exactly how He wants me to preach. But it's been on my heart here recently, and God has touched my heart and pushed some buttons about some things about folks don't realize, and maybe they're not recognizing, or maybe it's not really actually there in their heart about the seriousness of what it is to have the knowledge and the knowing that they have been born again and a full assurance in their heart. It doesn't come through and by just attending church. It doesn't just come by hearing a song. It doesn't just come by kneeling down at an altar. And can I say this tonight? All those things are good, and all those things have a place in worship. They have a place in the heart of the individual. But if it doesn't start with a wisdom, if it doesn't start with an understanding of knowing what happened in their heart, then you don't know what you've got, and you're a confused individual. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You said, "Preacher, this is some kind of tough preaching." Well, it is straightforward. And can I say this tonight? In the days that we're living in, we need to go straightforward. We can't afford to beat around the bush. We can't wait till we get around the corner. I was thinking about this here this past week, and the main topic that's been going on at my work is about that family over in Packton, Ohio, who they had found them all had been shot to death as they slept in their beds. Can I say this tonight? Some folks don't want to talk about the things that are going on in the world, but can I say this, Joanne? There's some serious things happening in people's life, and there's one thing they need to know for sure before this life is over. They need to know who Jesus is. They need to know for sure He's in their heart. And James, I know sometimes people say, "Well, you'll scare them, you'll scare folk, or you'll run folk off, or you'll browbeat them, you'll rough them up." But can I say this? I've been talking to people here recently, and there's some that's scared plumb to death. because they're reaching the end of their days. They're reaching the end of their lifespan. They never thought it purposeful to examine themselves, purposeful to examine the walk that they have, purposeful to examine the life that they've been living. But now, since it's getting near the end of time, all of a sudden the fear has set in and the troubles have set in, and they're looking for some kind of peace and they're looking for some kind of assurance. And I'm telling you this, Brother Jeff Currie, I can't give them to them. The youth leader can't give them to them. The song of the piano player can't give them to them. The deacon can't give them to them. That can only come from one thing and one thing only. It comes from the knowing and that of the Lord. So if I can say anything here tonight, young and old, youth group, adult group, we better be getting wisdom, and with wisdom getting understanding, having the knowledge of the truth and that of the Lord and where He exists in our life. And can I say this? You said, preacher, but I want to get to some things. I feel kind of, I want to make sure that I'm getting perfectly crystal clear on this, because I have come across so many people and I'm scared about so many folk. And I'm not saying just here at Mount Zion, but by the numbers and by the droves, I've baptized folks before I came to Mount Zion. I've seen folks come to the altar and say they got saved before I come to Mount Zion. And there's more of them who don't go to church no more. There's more of them who won't darken the Bible. There's more of them who won't even say the word Jesus Christ. And Brother James Powell, that scares the far out of me, and it should scare the far out of you. If we've got some people who've once named the name of the Lord and said that He saved their soul, but they're living like they still did before they got saved. Folks, something's not adding up, and something's very bad wrong, and they need help. And they get it from us. They'll get it from us. James was saying, ask and you can get wisdom. Ask of these things and you'll have it. In Colossians chapter number 2 is the first place I want to show you about having an understanding. Colossians in chapter number 2 and verse number 2. Paul was writing to the church, the Colossian church, and in verse 1 he said, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." This is what he said, that their hearts might be comforted, amen, that they might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of full assurance of understanding and the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. What he's wanting is for folks to have that full assurance, to have it in their heart. A full assurance, and to have that of understanding and the acknowledgement of the mystery and that of God. You know, some folks don't realize this, and before days of old, the Bible says that the prophets prophesied of it, Brother James, and the angels inquire of it. It amazes them about this grace that God has bestowed upon us. And some folks think it's just a great mystery. And some folks think that it's so difficult to find out. But Brother James Powell, when it comes to the individual trying to get it within their own intellect, or trying to study their own way through, or read their own way through, it is a mystery. I've had people tell me, said, "Preacher, I've read that Bible from cover to cover, and I don't get it." I've had other people tell me, they said, "Preacher, I was raised in Sunday school, and I just couldn't get it." I've had other people say, "Preacher, I know the Bible, but how do I apply it to my life?" Can I say this? You don't get it just by reading. You got to have something on the inside letting you know what it is. And that assurance and that full assurance only comes by one way. It comes by having a born-again experience with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. I hear this preacher this evening. I'm not preaching some deep theological message. I'm not tiptoeing through the things that's so deep in the waters of spirituality. I'm just talking meat and potatoes. You've got to have a born-again experience in your heart. You've got to have that thing revealed in your heart. You've got to have a knowledge and an understanding and a realization in your heart. And you've got to have nothing but full assurance in your heart. If not, you've got troubles. Amen. And tonight, Paul was telling the church of Colossians, he said, an understanding and a knowledge of the mystery of God. So many people look at us and they say, "Just don't quite get it." Can I say this? I've had preachers, I've had Baptist preachers, I've had teachers, I've had church members that look at folks like us and say, "I just don't understand you. I just don't, it's a mystery unto me." One time, I think I've shared this before, at my home church, Roger Williams was preaching a revival, and he asked the congregation on a Tuesday night, I believe Tuesday or Wednesday night, he said, "Who here is not afraid to die?" And just about everybody in the congregation raised up their hand. And I raised up my hand. And so the next night we're standing in the parking lot, old gravel parking lot, up from Frisch's, Brother Don, we're standing right there. And this man walks up and he accused Roger of causing the whole congregation to lie. And Roger said, "Why are you saying that I caused the whole congregation to lie?" And that man looked at him. He said, "Everybody is afraid of dying. Everybody is afraid of leaving this world. Everybody's got a deep fear, and that of losing their life." And Roger looked at him and said, then he looked at him, then he looked at me. He said, "Jason," he goes, "let me ask you one more time." He said, "Are you afraid to die?" I said, "Roger Williams, I am not afraid to die." And Roger looked at me and he said, "I'm not afraid of dying either." And that man says, "Well, I am." And Roger says, "Well, it seems like and it sounds like you need to have some assurance into your heart. That way you won't have to fear about what happens in the end." Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that I don't care what happens to my wife. I don't care what happens to my kids. And I don't care what happens at this church. Remember James Powell, if my last breath was to exhale today, I don't have to go back into 1999 and ask God if what happened really happened, because he's given me a full insurance. He's given me a walk that I've had since I've been saved. There's been some things. I ain't been perfect. Joanne, I've stumbled and I've failed. But bless God, that's how I know I'm saved, because he's picked me up every time and he's dusted me off and said, "Jason, I move on upon your way." Can I say this tonight? There is an assurance you can have in your heart. There's some doubts that can be erased. There is a fear that can be run off. Because John says, "Perfect love casteth out fear." And that perfect love comes from salvation. And that of the Lord. I know tonight, as we stand or sit in South Lebanon, Ohio, some people say, "Well, preacher, what's the big deal? What's the big deal?" I got to thinking, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but I'm watching Brother James and I'm watching some of them youth. They got these big folders out and they're writing some things down. And they've got themselves, is it a prayer journal, Brother James, is what it is? And somebody says, "Well, what's the big deal about a prayer journal?" I'm telling you folks, you need to have yourself a prayer life and that with God. Because assurance will come and this understanding will come and wisdom will come, because James says, "Ask of him liberally." And Solomon says, when you get wisdom, get understanding with it. Why is that? Because it'll erase some doubts. It'll keep you out of the highways and the hedges. It'll keep you out of the dark and dungeon-like places of this world when you've got a full assurance and wisdom in your heart.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 22. The writer also talks about having a full assurance. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, having a full assurance. I want to get to the full assurance. I got one thing. I got two more things I'm going to hush. Then I'll be done preaching. In Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 22, it says, "Let us draw near." Notice he said, "Let us draw near Edith." He didn't say just Edith. He didn't say just Jason Faulkner. He said, "Let us draw near." Now, don't get mad at me. I'm just going by what God's given me. But when he's talking about us, he's talking about a church. You know, I was talking to somebody Saturday, and they said, "I look so familiar." I was at another person's church, and we was fellowshipping. It was right after that funeral. And they said, We're trying to place where you're at. And I didn't know her name, but Edith, I remember we used to go to church at. I said, "Your pastor, Brother Jim, used to have me come out and preach." They said, "That's where we know you at. That's where we know you at." They said, "How you been?" I said, "It's been going good. And it's going better now." And they said, "Why?" I said, "I just love to be associated with church." Don't you? Don't you like having that association on that people says, them church-going folk, them people who love God. Hey, you ain't got to worry about what they're doing on Sunday. You know what they'll be on Sunday. You know what they'll be on Wednesday. He said, "Let us draw near. Let us draw near as together, as coming together." I like how it is today when folks look at it and say, I shouldn't say I like it, but I heard people say, "Well, I've got my own relationship with the Lord, and me and him at church, just me and him by ourselves." I understand what they're trying to say. I understand what they're trying to get at, but when they don't want to come to the house of God and they don't want to fellowship with the church, they've got something bad going on and going wrong with them. Because I've had people tell me, they said, "Preacher, I'm going to heaven." I said, "Well, you ain't going to heaven without the church." So I say amen right there. Because when the Lord comes back, he's calling the church back. He's not going in alphabetical order. He's not calling the one up that he had a close relationship with. He's not leaving the other one back who didn't have that close relationship. Brother James, all of them that's been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and baptized with fire, They're a part of the church, brother, in the spirit. They've been planted. They've been placed in the church. The mother of us all at New Jerusalem. Oh, bless his righteous name. We are the bride of Christ. And the Bible said he'll present us faultless, having no wrinkle and having no spot. You ain't got your own thing going on. You're confused. You don't have wisdom. You don't have knowledge. And you don't have no assurance. And tonight he's saying, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Can I say this tonight? That full assurance will come from a heart, a true heart, and our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. I had somebody ask me, we was talking, and they said, Jason, do you have to ask God to forgive you that much? I said, I got to ask him to forgive me every day. Huh? Now, I'm not out cheating on my wife. I'm not out getting drunk. I'm not selling dope. I'm not fornicating. But I'm telling you, there's some weaknesses I've got. And don't you dare look at me and think you're more spiritual than I am. You got weaknesses too. And there's been times somebody's crossed my path. There's been somebody who's cut me off. There's people who's just driving too slow. And I get that whacked out look or that whacked out thought in my head. And a lot of people say, oh, preacher, ain't no big deal, ain't no big deal. Well, the Bible says even the thought of foolishness is sin. And to me, my opinion is, and just, this is just an opinion, you can take it for yourself. I'd rather keep all that sin as far away from me as I can. I don't want it stockpiled up and burdening me. I don't want it being a chain around my ankle, keeping me from walking closer with God and getting closer with God. I'm telling you, that Bible says having that heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And that is this word. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, Paul was also writing unto the church of Thessalonica. Notice how he has written to the Hebrews. He has written to the Colossian church. And he was mentioning about the church of Laodicea. Here he is in the book of Thessalonians talking to the church of Thessalonica. And he said in chapter number 1 and verse number 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we are among you for your sake. The Apostle Paul was saying he wasn't wavering on what he was preaching. He wasn't wavering on what he was standing for. He hadn't made a change in his life. Now, I've heard some people say, well, I'd like to be as strong and bold in the Lord as maybe James Powell Jr. I'd like to be as close to God and as in his spiritual as Randy Spinney. Can I tell you this? It's not no secret. It's not no something in the Cracker Jack box. It's not digging up something in your backyard. It's called asking God for some wisdom and getting well and understanding with that wisdom, having a close relationship with God, and God, I'll get that full assurance. And Peter said, that's the gospel. Amen. Can I say this tonight, you young people? And I know it's rough. Attention span is about as long as a gnat. Sometimes mine's the same way. Amen. But can I say this tonight? I think it'd do us some good. It'd do them young people good. I think it'd do the old people some good. To stop with all the other things that are not adding anything to us. All them friends that's not helping us. All those situations not going to bring glory to Christ or help us in our walk. Oh, yeah, that's right tonight. And get a little closer to Jesus. Get a little closer to our Bible. Get a little closer. I was talking to a person. They said, Jason, this is the problem that I'm having. Joe, and this is what they told me. They said, I fear. And I'm trying to get some encouragement, but I just don't know what to do. I said, well, what have you been doing? They said, well, I get on the TV and trying to find me some help on them preaching shows and things like that. And this is what I told them. Don't y'all get mad at me. I'm going to give you the same advice I gave them. I said, turn them fellas off on that TV and grab open that King James Bible and crack her open. Sacrifice everything else around you. Get along with God and get along with His Word. And can I say this tonight? Brother James, I think it'd do this church a whole bit of good. I think it'd do this whole world a bit of good if we cut out all the extra stuff and just gave our life solely under the Lord. Can I say this tonight? You can't replace what I preach and what I read from the Bible. You can't take that and put it in where you're supposed to be reading. Does anybody understand that? People say, I read my Bible every week. It's only because I have you asking to stand up and open up your Bible. Is that right, preacher? You pastored before, is that right? Y'all don't get mad at me. It's true, ain't it? But what happens, this is what I'm trying to get to you. Don't think I'm browbeating. What I want is when hard times come, I want you to be able to stand up on your own 2 feet and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. I've got a knowledge deep down that no man can pluck up. I've got an assurance in my heart the devil can't take away. I've got a strong understanding and a strong knowledge of just who my Jesus is. I've had some people say, preacher, I don't think they'll ever get rid of our Bible. But can I tell you this? There just might be a chance. They might try to confiscate. I think there might be, they might have better designs. You may think I'm crazy and think I'm a conspiracy theorist. But I think they don't want our guns, Brother King James. I think they want our swords. Hey, can I tell you this? I don't think they want our Colt 45s. I don't think they want our Glocks. I don't think they want our Remingtons. I don't think they want our Kimbers. I don't think they want our Smith & Wessons. I think they want our KJV Bibles. It'd do them no more bit of good than to get rid of all them Bible-thumping, God-fearing, sin-hating, and Jesus-loving fanatics off the face of this earth so they can have what they want. But can I tell you this? One day after a while, they're going to get exactly what they want. They're going to get a life without God and a life without Christ. But it's not a good life, Brother James. Then people don't realize that right now this is the best they've ever got, the best they'll ever see. This is the worst that the child of God's got. This is the worst the child of God will ever see. Because we have an assurance, a hope, as an anchor, steadfast in our soul. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Am I making sense tonight? Is there any sense y'all understand? Not to say amen, preacher. It's making sense. Because can I say this tonight? So many people, and this is my heart's desire, that when we walk out of here tonight, that every single one of us will say, you know what, I'm going to get more assurance. I'm going to get me some more assurance. Steadfast. You say, preacher, how much can you get? Can't get enough. You can't get enough. You know, I've even been looking about getting more life insurance. The one they give us out of county, I don't think is enough. I'm looking to get more life insurance. Somebody says you can never have enough life insurance. But can I tell you there's something more important than life insurance? That's getting life assurance and some death insurance.
Amen.
And that comes through them by Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy. I got two more places and we'll call it quits. Is that all right with you all? Say amen. Is that all right? 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Now I know he's talking to Timothy, but he's also talking to us in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 verse 14. He says, but continue thou in all things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I say this? Sunday school classes, adults all the way down. Continue in them lessons. I want to say this because sometimes I think most people get it. I think some folks don't, and just for those that some don't, these Sunday school teachers don't just go to the internet and spit out a lesson and say, I'm going to regurgitate it. Right? These Sunday school teachers, and I'll say this from the depths of my heart, they should be doing like how the preacher ought to be doing. Praying and asking God for the lesson to give to that class.
Yes,
the Bible said, Paul told Timothy, he said, continue in those things. Continue in those things. He said, that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Learn them about Jesus. Learn them about God. Learn them about the life that's supposed to be lived. Who'd he learn them from? And the next verse he says that he from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. I thought it was here, but it's somewhere else. Timothy got to learn him from his mama and from his grandmama. They would tell him about how good God is, how good a life it is walking with God, how good a life it is having God in your life, having God being your father. And I know sometimes in today's time, they say, well, the things of life are so much better. There's pleasure in sin. But the Bible said it is just for a season. And can I tell you this, kids? Can I tell you this, adults? That sin may seem good. It may appease your flesh just for a little bit. But it won't be for too long. It's got to have more. It's got to have more. It's got to have more. But I found out just a little bit of this word. And continuing this word becomes a lot in that word. It'll satisfy your soul. It'll satisfy your heart. It'll satisfy everything about you. And you'll have an assurance in your heart. Y'all hear me? So many times, and I'll say this, don't get mad at me. So many times, we think church is just the place we come and get some kind of instruction. And it is a good place of instruction. But Jeff Curry, this is God is speaking.
Ain't that right? Last Sunday morning, God began to speak, and I thought for sure it wasn't going to go, considering circumstances and everything. But I didn't have to doubt, Brother James, it wasn't me. It wasn't what I studied. It wasn't what I prayed for, Sister Geneva. There's an assurance. When you get close to God and continue to get close, there's an assurance, Michelle, that comes in and gets into your life. And can I tell you this, even when the times are hard and that valley just seems like it's the deepest one you've ever been in, Sister Tina, there's an assurance that you know, though you may not feel His presence, though you may not know He's there, but you know He's been there time and time and time again. And you know that valley is not your end. You know that valley ain't going to do you in. You know you're not going to fall in that valley because He's been there. There's an assurance. There's a promise that's steadfast and sure in your heart, knowing that God's going to lead you out.
Amen.
And it comes with that assurance. You said, preacher, how can I get that assurance? And I'll read this and I'll hush. 1 John chapter number 5. If you're going to have any assurance, it's got to start right here. The Bible says under the law, everything was established by two or three witnesses. They had two or three witnesses. When Nabal, they lied about Nabal, they said that he blasphemed God. Geneva, there was two or three liars. They lied on him. But they said they was witnesses. And it killed Nabal. They killed him for it. Two or three witnesses. As everything was established in the Old Testament. Here in 1 John chapter number 5, the word is still true, but it's a far better witness. And if you want some understanding and witness in that of the Lord, the thing that God wants to give is in that 10th verse. And the Bible says this, or in 9th verse. I tell you what, do me this favor. We're going to read verse number 7, 8, 9, and 10. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. The 10th verse says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. We'll go on. And this is a record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He says the witness should be in you.
Amen.
You know how I knew I was saved, Sister Connie, when I got saved? I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know who was it going on. I just knew there was something different going on the inside. I knew there was a change that took place. Now, some people may accuse me of doing this, that you're putting it all sensationalism, saying it's based all upon emotions. I'm not basing it upon emotions, because I stepped out in faith. I repented. I left my life with Don, and I come forward faith believing that God was going to do something for me, because He had to. I said, you're God, if you say who you say you are, you got to do something with me. I stepped out, Joanne, and when I stepped out, grace and mercy was right there next to me. And when I knelt down, Brother Paul, I stood up, and everything had changed. Everything had changed. Some folks may think I'm crazy. I thought I was watching TV. You know how they shut the dreams on TV? They got that little fog ring around it. It looked like there was a fog ring through my eyes. I'm like, what in the world's going on? I felt better. I felt lighter. I felt like better than I've ever felt before. I felt like I could leave tall buildings in a single bound. I wanted to rip open my shirt and thought I had an S on my chest, on my T-shirt. I just felt different because there was a witness that moved into my life. And that witness still lives today, Brother James. And this is what this witness does. I'm sitting there watching TV. Nobody watches TV, do they? See, this ever happens to you all. This happens at our house. Tammy, I don't let Tammy have the remote, so I'm driving. Y'all with me? Ooh! There's that beer commercial. I don't sit there and look at, oh man, that's the best thing I've ever. Oh man, I got to go back a commercial on YouTube, watch that thing over and over. There's something on the inside saying, Jason, turn that channel. Amen. I keep turning that channel. Oh, there's the underwear commercial for men and women. Tanya, there's something on the inside saying, mash that channel, mash that channel. Am I right? Am I right? The only reason I'm using television is because I'm doing what God's telling me to do. Y'all right? Watching that TV, that favorite TV show. Oh, that's just a little bit of skin. No, we got to turn that too. Oh, you know, it's just one. Oh, that's one cuss word. Okay, that's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's 7 cut. Got to turn that channel. Got to turn that channel. There's a witness on the inside that says this life needs to be here, and this life needs to be here. Amen. Y'all hear me? Mark it down. I'm not warning. I'm just telling you, you can mark it down in your Bible. Mark down this date. If you don't ask and apply yourself to get that assurance, that wisdom, that understanding, you'll find yourself in a place. You'll find yourself in a place where you're scared to death and you doubt and you have no assurance. And you say, preacher, you'd come and pray with me, wouldn't you? I would. But my assurance, the assurance you need won't come from my praying. The assurance I'm talking about only comes from one place. It comes from the Lord. If you've been saved, there's a witness in your heart. And if I had to guess right now, there's some of you sitting here that says you're right. You can't eat from the table of the Lord and the table from the devil's. You won't get no assurance. You can't have two masters. You'll serve one, despise the other, love one, hate the other. And oftentimes, I've given this example before, but so many times, and I really believe this, I really think people think it's just the things that they can't get, they can't obtain. It's a life that they'll never get a hold of. But Hannah, it's there. And it's there for all you ladies, young ladies right here on that pew, and you boys right there, even Noah and Logan can get it. And it's called always, always making sure of that witness in their heart. When Peter said, make your election and calling sure because you didn't have those things of faith, I'm going back to Sunday night's message. He says, there's something on the inside of you. There's something that should be there. There should be an assurance of salvation, an assurance of a walk with the Lord. And that needs to be built. That needs to be exercised. That needs to be strengthened. That needs to be added to. Y'all hearing this, preacher? Because if not, you'll find yourself in a place of, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to go on. Preacher, and I've had these questions asked to me. Preacher, am I saved? Preacher, can you tell me I'm saved? Preacher, my loved one's dying. Can you do anything? They went to church when they was young. Can you tell me they're saved? Because even though they live like the devil all 50, 60 years of their life, but they went to church, can you tell me they're saved? And James, I can't do that. But I know for a certain amount of money, you can get somebody standing there in front of that casket and preach them in. Now, you may be mad at me tonight. But if you do that check up in here, you find out there's no witness in there, I'd be begging God to give you one. And if you are saved and you know there's one in there, you best be begging God to help you get that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding.